Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We are here at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. It continues to be an absolutely beautiful day. That tends to be the case here in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. Yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, but as the sun was setting, there appeared to be a sort of gold band across the sky. I actually did not see it, but it was reported to me by Dennis Pratt, who was the organizer of this year's Porcupine Freedom Festival. So I didn't see that exact myself. I did see the sunset because I was, walking my dog out around that time. It was just gorgeous. Beautiful landscape up here. It's hard to go wrong. The only way it could be better is with DMT. And it was a few years ago that I sat at the bowl over there with Ian and doing DMT and watching the landscape and difficult to describe experience.
The only way these sunsets could be improved is if they had colors that don't actually exist.
Yes, exactly that. And it did make everything more beautiful. And it was a DMT experience. So it was exactly what you would expect it to be. But that's the only way to improve the absolutely gorgeous vistas here in the White Mountains.
For sure.
And I was worried it was going to be raining all week. That so far has not been the case. But I'm not a weather person. I'm not going to give you a weather report. Get here, RV46, because tomorrow is going to be a day to remember.
That's a fact.
And also, update, we mentioned the Rant Festival, the Soapbox Idol that happens every year at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We weren't sure if I was going to be a judge. I had assumed I was going to be a judge, so I will indeed be judging this year's event again, so I'm looking forward to that. That's always my favorite part of the festival. It's just hearing libertarians passionate about a subject, ranting about the thing. And again, a reminder, I want passionate libertarians. I don't want you to go up there and give me a 3-minute dissertation on economics or the history of or what Mises had to say about this. No, I want passion. I want fire. Bring it. That's the kind of thing. Also, I want cider. Bring me cider, and I will give you more points. I think of announcing at the beginning, like before we even start this year, like I have a bribery skill, right? Mm. You bring me an Angry Orchard cider, you get 2 extra points. You bring me a cider of any sort of description, you get 1 point. Mm. You bring me shrooms, you get 3 points. And so on. So but... And the beautiful thing about it is I can give these people whatever points I want. No one cares. No one's in charge. We're just doing this crazy little thing. And the points don't matter. At the end, the judges, we sit around and we go, well, who did we want to win? And right. I mean, we don't measure it by the point. We don't tally up the points. I can give you 1,000,000 points, and it won't mean that you're going to win. So you can bribe me as much as you want. Just dump a whole bag of psilocybin cubensis on the table if you want, and I can give you 10 million points. And obviously, I'm not doing psilocybin cubensis. I don't have the mental capacity right now to do any sorts. I can't even drink without having anxiety attacks. And that's an unusual experience for me, but it's because I'm going to prison in like a week. So my mental state isn't there, and doing shrooms or LSD would be just a terrible idea for me right now.
Yeah, there's an old saying, get your mind, what is it, state of mind and your, state and, anyway, if you're going to experiment with a mind-opening substance, you have to make sure that you're in the right mind state and that you are in the right place.
Yes.
And this is a beautiful place, but, I mean, when you are being put into a torture cell for, oh no, you sold people cryptocurrency that they wanted. How dare you?
Yeah, dastardly crime of selling Bitcoin. But Pinkless and I are joined by Kahuna. Welcome to the show. I think this is the first time you've been on during the Porcupine Freedom Festival, isn't it?
During Porkfest, yeah. I was here last year during Forkfest. But this
That's right.
First Porkfest experience.
Oh, really? So how
set and setting, that's the old saying.
Yeah. Set and setting. Well, I mean, yeah, and there's something to be said about using psychedelics to put yourself in the correct mindset to deal with those sorts of things, but that's not going to work in this case, right? I can't shroom my way out of the anxiety of going to prison next week.
Right.
So I'm not even going to attempt it. I would not attempt to do the shrooms even if I had them, because it's not worth it to me. There's no way I could possibly have a good trip.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the difference between what they're useful for and not useful for. They're useful for when you shouldn't have anxiety, but you do.
And you just
cannot get rid of that, and you've tried this and that. Okay, those are great situations for, let's tap into the, like, deepest layer of learning in your brain and fix that. Whereas you actually have a reason for your anxiety. Like, you are facing down a predator. You're supposed to feel anxious when you face down a predator.
Fair enough. Survival mechanism, all of that. So this is your first Porcupine Freedom Festival. This is day two. It's still, well, for us, it's day two. For you out there, listener, it's probably Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know. But it is Tuesday for us, so the festival is still getting going. People are still setting up. It's still in the early days. It's a very different festival than what we'll see Friday and Saturday. But what are your impressions so far, being this is your first time attending?
I like it. I mean, I like seeing all the people here. It is more structured than Forkfest, so that's different.
Yeah.
But it's great to look around and see so many people here celebrating freedom, enjoying New Hampshire, getting that whole experience.
That's always been one of my favorite things about New Hampshire is the Porcupine Freedom Festival and just all of the different things that you can see happening and see people doing, and the vending. The vending this year has been fantastic. And that's something that Forkfest has always sort of lacked.
And I also like seeing all the younger people here, the kids, starting them early, enjoying New Hampshire. I was at breakfast this morning, one of the vendors, and there were two gentlemen. They had their two daughters, and it was just a great thing to see.
I wish I had woke up in time to have breakfast, because I've been wanting, like, a sausage and biscuit and some eggs. I really want some eggs, but there's no kitchen space in the motel rooms here at Rogers Campground. There's no suite where I can get access to a kitchen or whatever. I suppose in theory I could grill some eggs, but that's a lot of work, right? When I would have to set up a campfire here and get the thing with which to do it and go buy the skillets and the eggs and all that. It would be better if I could just find someone cooking those things and buy theirs.
And it was also awesome. I paid for breakfast with Goldbecks.
Yes, that's the best part by far of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, is being able to live in and thrive in an economy that doesn't rely on the U.S. dollar.
Right.
You can use the U.S. dollar here, but you could survive the entire week just using Goldbecks or cryptocurrency or some combination thereof. For the most part, you could barter and get by just fine. Even if you don't have gold and silver, if you have something someone else wants, they're more than willing to trade for it. I got a tarot reading yesterday. I think this is the first time we've had I don't know if she's a psychic, but we've had tarot readings here that I've ever seen, right here in Agoura Valley, and I paid two Goldbecks for it, and she was willing to barter with whatever one happened to have, and that's something that you find a lot at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. There's a lot of set your own price too, which can be a bit jarring for me. When, like, a few nights ago, the Cordons were doing dinner, and it was a donation only sort of thing. So, okay, but what do you want? What do you think is fair? Tell me that. But it's amazing here. We accept gold back here stickers everywhere. I love seeing those.
It's so hard to figure out how things are priced when they're printing the money at the rate that they are these days. So, yeah, there's a bunch of people, including myself, trying to outsource the labor of figuring out, okay, what is this worth now?
Really, yeah. Good point.
And there was a price on the sign where I had breakfast,
mm-hmm,
in dollars, but they said they take gold back, so they take crypto.
Did they also price it in gold backs on the sign?
No, no.
Okay. I was the first person to ever do that.
Not this particular vendor, but I actually gave this person more in, quote, value in gold backs just to show my support and because I wanted to.
Right.
Nice.
You know, it's not because I had to, but
yep.
I wanted to just provide that support.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we are going to see for a very long time to come. Even if gold or cryptocurrency takes over, there's going to be a long period of time where things are still priced in dollars, even while that tanks.
Mm-hmm.
But to see, here's what it looks like, everyone. Here's what a U.S. dollar threat and coercion currency can be free of. This is what it looks like.
Yes, and this is what a society looks like when it's running on those currencies. The only qualm I have is with people who don't put the price in goldbacks on their signs, because I'm pretty much, I can't use cryptocurrency, so I can use U.S. dollar and goldbacks. Of the two, I vastly prefer using goldbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be tricky when my order is $26 to pay for it in goldbacks. Now, it's just some simple math, right? It's seven goldbacks in that case, because each one is worth about $4, and mm-hmm. we all tend to round down. I think the price is technically like $4.07 right now, but if somebody buys something that requires 10 goldbacks and you treat that as $40.70, you're the outlier. Everyone else is just rounding down to $4.
Right.
And so don't be that weirdo who's charging people that extra 7 cents or whatever, right?
Yeah, there's a I forget which country they're from. There's this Middle Eastern shop in Manchester that got talked into taking goldbacks, and I'm always jarred by the fact that they like look up online. Wait a second, how much is the gold worth right now? Okay, here's your charge for that.
The Funky Noodle did that as well. Now, this restaurant you mentioned, are they giving you like goldback prices of the goldback? Are they looking up the goldback prices, or are they treating it like one thousandth
of an ounce
of gold?
They're looking up the goldback prices.
Okay, yeah. That's good. So they're valuing the utility of it, because mm-hmm. the actual value of the gold in a goldback is about $2.50, something mm-hmm. around that area.
Well, and the thing that we're really tapping into here is, are you willing to save? Because that's what gold and cryptocurrency are good for. Yeah, they may not be as convenient to take in and give away just as quickly as possible, but they're what you can save in and really have something you know will work.
Yeah, we have paper for something to trade freely and to get rid of and to not save. But gold is certainly useful for that, and the goldback made gold useful, whereas previously you would have to, I mean, I can't even imagine how small a thousandth of an ounce of gold would be. To carry around $4 worth of gold, I would absolutely, for sure, lose it. But with the goldback, that's not a problem. And that's a beautiful thing. I do find silver to be slightly more, the only criticism I have of the goldback is that you cannot melt it down, you cannot smelt it to get the raw gold out of it. That can only be done through a very specific process, but basically by undoing the process they did initially to make them. So if I take one of my 50 gold bags, which is a 20th of an ounce of gold, I would expect to be able to melt it down and get a 20th of an ounce of gold out of it. But that's not the way it works. In order to get that gold, they have to do something, and that's the part that's really surprising.
You'd think that you could like take a stack of these and just apply enough heat that you burn off the plastic in them, and you'd be left with gold.
You would expect so, but as I understand it from the goldback people, that is not the case.
And it's probably not a simple process, so there's a cost to that, which is probably not small.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that dilutes, if you will, the net value of that melted gold.
But I do love the goldback, and I don't mean to tarnish it in any way whatsoever. It's absolutely useful. It made gold useful. But for that reason alone, I prefer the actual silver. On the subject of silver, have either of you seen Silver Dave this year?
I haven't.
I have not.
He's surely here. He's normally right there along Agoura Valley with his gourmet food. Fantastic. Expensive.
I have not met him yet. I do want to meet him, so hopefully I run into him in the next few days.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know he's still selling silver, so I don't know why I haven't seen him.
I'm going to have to put out the word to see if he's here, if he's coming this year, because he every year he does gourmet dinners, and it's hard to find gourmet food here at, you know, it's fair food, and that's sort of what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
The closest consistent thing we have to gourmet food is Little Zoe's, the pizza shop down here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is just pretty much is fair food, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Silver Dave offered actual gourmet. Like, yeah, last year he did ahi tuna and some other
delicious
stuff. And it was like $35 for a plate, but it was
nine
delicious.
Goldbacks.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was worth it. And it was something you could eat and feel good about having eaten, whereas last night, I mentioned previously, I got some of the loaded fries and split them with my dog. I didn't feel good about eating that. Mm. It's like, this is just food that is, you know, I'm eating because I'm hungry. Mm. It's not healthy. It's not good. But little Zoe's...
More like fuel than food.
Yes. Yep. Little Zoe's has salads this year, and I don't believe they did that last year, so I'm nice. Happy to see that. A lot of positive changes this year from last year. By and large, it's still the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I don't notice any huge, major changes. But there's a lot of little subtle ones among the people like that. And it could also just be a difference in perspective. Maybe Lil Zoe's always had salads, and I just didn't notice.
Well, I've definitely noticed a lot of Massachusetts license plates this year, and I think I think a lot of people are here to see their Kennedy, you know.
Oh man, I hope not. I don't think RFK should be banned, but I wish he would just F off. And it's so
really?
Hard. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Look, someone is reminding the people on the left that they used to hate war and distrust the pharmaceutical companies.
Okay, when I say F off, I mean from Porkfest and from libertarian circles. I do not mean in general. I don't care what he does with Democrats and liberals, right? Yeah. I don't want... Already, libertarians, in an effort to chase after that clout that is mainstream recognition and the ego boost of feeling like we're significant and that we matter to the political parties, already they're willing to bend their knee and to give in to RFK's demands. Mm-hmm. When the exact opposite should be the case. RFK wants our vote. He wants our vote.
Exploded from something, I'd feel a little bit iffy about having those things around.
That's a non sequitur, in my opinion. I mean, he's probably been around guns. He's got armed guards coming here with him, right? He's not going to be around guns. He just wants to be able to control who has the guns.
And it's going
to
be a gun-free zone, I believe.
At the pavilion. Well, no.
No.
His guys will be able to have guns.
Other than his guys?
Well, see, that's a critical distinction, right. Because it's not a gun-free zone.
Okay.
It's a gun-free zone for us ordinary people. His elite soldiers, his bodyguards get to have guns, and we're at their mercy. And just extrapolate that to the wider society, you have the same problem. With only the police should have guns. And he just exemplifies that exact mindset. And I don't think that the fact that his uncle got killed, or his uncles, I don't remember exactly how many of them have been killed, got killed, gives him any sort of political credibility. And that's what I encounter a lot. It's like, well, you know, he says there was a conspiracy, and it is his family, but that doesn't mean he knows anything.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
like my uncle
coming forward and saying, I know something about the situation with Arya, but he doesn't.
Yeah, and like most leftists, he's probably never held a gun, he's never fired one, he's never learned how they can be safe and accepted them into his life. And that's really sad and unfortunate, but, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that you have a voice that's actually going, hey, half the country, this thing we just did, not okay. Not okay. And
in regard to war, you mean?
Yeah.
Right,
well, not even the war. No, the lockdowns. Everyone on the left just wants to pretend that was cool and nothing to see here, nothing important. We didn't ruin our entire civilization for no good reason. And he's literally the only one on that side that's actually going, guys, this was not okay.
Which is all well and good. However, appearing here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival directly hurts his reputation with those exact people. And if we're not going to reach those people, he doesn't have to convince us about the lockdowns being bad.
That's true.
But if he's speaking to Democrats, he should have clout with Democrats. And if they're looking at him going, no, man, you're in bed with those libertarians now, get out of here, then he ceases to be effective at that
but
as well.
If we can add any fuel to his fire, then I'm all for it. If we can increase his visibility... Great. And the fact that he's neurotic about guns is just going to give us an excuse to have a gun rally at Porkfest, which is absurd in any other context. But now there's actually a reason to have a gun rally where there are always guns.
I think that ignores the fact that there's a power dynamic here, right? He's a politician. He wants power. In theory, we have something that he wants, and that is our votes, right? He wants to persuade. He wants our votes, and he wants us to get out there and campaign for him and all of that nonsense. However, why isn't he offering us anything? That being the case, why is he offering us nothing and instead demanding something of us? Demanding
to be fair, he's offering us the lack of nuclear annihilation, which is more than we're getting from the other candidates. Because right now there are no candidates that are even concerned with the possibility of us turning into radioactive dust.
I mean, okay, yes, but if we're crediting him with that, then everyone on this campsite everyone at this festival is offering us the same thing. 99.99% of Americans are offering us the same thing. So I mean, that's a really low bar.
Yeah, but they're not going to have their finger on the button, you see.
Well, he probably won't either. And, I mean, realistically, and Vivek would probably promise not to destroy the entire planet, too. And, I mean, Donald Trump would promise not to destroy the entire... He had his finger on the button for 4 years and never destroyed the entire planet.
No, he's going to do it with China. That's how this works.
He didn't do it previously.
That's true. We've lucked out so far. We haven't had a nuclear war with China or Russia, which seem to be the options that we have for voting. Is do you want to have a nuclear World War III with Russia or China or both?
I think the plot twist is definitely going to be that it's both. But you're absolutely right. And that was the 2016 election in a nutshell, is Donald Trump sitting there going, China, 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 all the time. And Hillary going, Russia collusion, Russians, Russians, Russians. And the voting in the 2016 election was either voting for an idiot who goes, where's Aleppo? Or voting for war with China or war with Russia. And as I mentioned, I don't necessarily have any issue with Gary Johnson not knowing where Aleppo is. I think we need more politicians who are willing to be honest and say, I don't know something. However, it didn't do him any favors. Gary Johnson was probably the weakest candidate we could have run. Why in the world did they send this ordinary dude named Gary Johnson to run against Donald Trump? Are you kidding? That was the year to run John McAfee. If anything was ever going to succeed, it would have been John McAfee.
Right?
He would have crushed Donald Trump. And people made the argument that, John McAfee would have done so much worse against Trump. It's like, but you don't know that. Right? Well, and there's no evidence to support my claim either.
And it was a completely different race than any other. Like, what you had to stand up to was schoolyard bullying.
Right.
And John McAfee knows how to stand up to schoolyard bullying.
He's got a history of doing that. He stood up to a pimp in the state of Florida, I think it was, and said, hey, stop hitting this woman who's going to become my wife. So, I mean, dude stood up to authorities. He stood up to bullies. Crazy as hell, but mad respect for him, man. And I think we could have actually won that election if the American people or if the Libertarian Party had chosen to put their money behind John McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just speculation. I have no evidence to support that. But why would we send when you don't battle crazy with non-crazy.
Well, and the thing is, as far as I'm concerned, all of this politics stuff is just a great way to get people to pay attention. So if you're going to get the people's attention, why are you getting it on this guy? No, let's have someone who says, okay, here's the non-aggression principle. Non-aggression? I've never heard that word before. Like, get that guy, because what is the point of running this one?
We actually did have some Kennedy supporters over here a second ago, but they left. I suspect that was because we were not saying nice things about Kennedy. I don't know. Maybe they're with the campaign. I'd love to talk to them. There's more coming up here from the Porcupine Freedom Festival, though. Stay tuned. It is Free Talk Live.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
USA USA News Update. Prosecution in the trial of the former school resource officer in the 2018 Parkland school shooting is resting in the case.
They argued that despite law enforcement experience and active shooter training, Scott Peterson failed to respond in the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School incident. Instead, they accused him of taking cover for over 45 minutes during the shooting. 17 people were killed. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Defense attorneys are attempting to paint the entire incident as chaotic. House Republicans have failed to overturn President Biden's veto of the Congressional Review Act. The legislation would have ended Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. It passed in the House and Senate earlier this year before the president vetoed it. Biden's student debt relief plan now faces the Supreme Court. Tropical storm Brett strengthening, taking aim at the Caribbean now. It's forecast to reach the Lesser Antilles on Thursday. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and this hour, of course, is brought to you for this. Tonight's show is brought to you by Dash. You can find out more about them at Dash.org. Dash is a cryptocurrency that is actually designed and meant to be used from the ground up as an actual currency. And Bitcoin, of course, I mean, right there at the top of the white paper, peer-to-peer digital cash. But Bitcoin was co-opted long ago and has stopped being useful as money. Dash doesn't have that problem. Dash remains to this day useful as money, and it's actually reasonable in regard to fees and times. It's almost instantaneous, these transactions. It also doesn't have the replace by fee that Bitcoin has, and all of these things are very technical, and they're probably not very important to you as a user. What's important is the fact that it is actually useful as a currency. You can go buy something here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, scan a QR code, send them Dash, and be 100% confident that they will get the cryptocurrency that you sent them. You don't have to worry about 51% of tax, replaced by fee, or the blockchain being too busy, or the fee being unreasonable. None of that's an issue with Dash. You can find out more about it at Dash.org. And I want to say thank you to the Dash DAO, that's the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization, for giving us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. So again, that's Dash.org. Check it out. Always been one of my favorite cryptocurrencies. It's between Dash and Bitcoin Cash. As far as like spending things on a, and I've got to give the edge to Bitcoin Cash, I think.
I like BCH.
Simply because of local.bitcoin.com. For a time, for a very long time, I was the top, and I suspect this is still true for different reasons, I was the top seller in the world at local.bitcoin.com. I was the top seller of Bitcoin Cash in the world. And it was very successful. However, the site was ultimately proliferated by scammers to the extent that 99 trades out of 100 were scammers. And I was the top trader, so I had a lot of successful trades under my belt. And I started just getting fewer and fewer actual legitimate people interested in Bitcoin Cash. And to my knowledge, the site just sort of died off as a result of that, getting taken over by scammers.
Well, this is why I'm curious what's going to happen in St. Kitts, because they've made that a currency there, because one of the activists sold alcohol there, and they knew he would always be willing to trade Bitcoin Cash for alcohol. And when you're at a resort town, that's a big part of what goes on there.
But we were talking about Kennedy and presidential candidates, and I want to be clear. I don't want to sound too harsh about these presidential candidates. I just want to be clear. I hate them, and I wish they would die. I mean, sorry. Let me be clear. I do kind of wish they would die, actually. I don't wish anyone harmed them, but I wish they would die of natural causes, because these people are evil. I'm willing to give Vivek and RFK a pass on this. They have not been politicians yet, to my knowledge.
They haven't become evil yet.
Yes,
they haven't put on the ring of power.
They've become evil, but they haven't had the chance to be evil yet. So for them, they're just potentially evil at this point. And so, to be clear, I don't wish they would die. And again, what I mean by that is I wish they would die of natural causes.
You don't want to be harsh to them.
As a karmic consequence of their own actions, not as a result of any harm that anyone did to them. Ever. No one should ever harm any other person. However, that is my position on these candidates. That doesn't mean, though, that they don't do some good things.
Ideally, I would like all of the politicians to just be cured of their addiction to power.
That would be better, yes. That would certainly be a better approach. However, that doesn't seem to be the case anytime soon.
Does not seem to be the case.
They are here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival not trying to cure their addiction to power, but seeking more power. And it's possible, right? That's one of the reasons that the libertarians want Vivek and RFK here, is so that maybe we can formulate the question in exactly the right way, or put it to them in exactly the right way to get them to see that what they're doing is tyrannical and immoral and violent and aggression and coercion. It's been revealed that's not going to be the case, because RFK is only taking a few questions and they've been pre-planned. And
he's taking not zero questions? It's an improvement.
They were pre-planned on Twitter, so his writers and he have already, they can control what questions they're being asked.
Yeah.
So there's no potential here for a libertarian to raise their hand and ask, unless they're going to disrupt the flow of things, which I would advise against, there's no potential for them to ask him that ringer question that's going to get him. Right.
One thing I like that he did was, I don't know if you remember this, but back in November 21, he wrote a book called The Real Anthony Fauci.
Right.
And it was not an op-ed piece. I mean, it was very factual. It went back to Anthony Fauci's childhood, his history, his work with AIDS, with the HPV vaccine, all that, and really exposed how this guy operates.
Yeah, because Fauci has been, I mean, he's been a political monster for 40 or 50 years at this point, all the way back to the 80s at least.
Right, and talking about somebody who's power hungry and uses that power to just destroy people's lives and get what they want and get a lot of money. In my opinion, that's that guy.
I thought the puppy thing would be what took down Fauci. I really did, because Americans really love their puppies and their cats.
I'm truly astonished that he is still in power. I am flabbergasted that he has not been run through the streets with tar and feather on him. I mean, seriously, no one's calling for this guy to not have his power.
Well,
after
we are.
This?
We are, sure.
Yeah,
but
we are
the rare ones, and I'm with you. Let's tar and feather this dude. And again, to reiterate, tarring and feathering people doesn't have to do them any harm. It can be just embarrassing. I always thought the tar had to be hot, but as I learned from a movie that I watched a few years ago, no, it was quite possible to use coal tar and to tar and feather people that way. It wouldn't kill them, wouldn't even hurt them. It would just be tremendously embarrassing. And then it probably would take months to get it off. I don't know. Probably not pleasant, but we could do that. I would love to see us do that. Those are the options. They either need to F off or die or get tarred and feathered.
Yeah, because we need to show other power monsters that this is the kind of behavior that is unacceptable for people to do.
And the end result, honestly, of not doing this, the reason that tarring and feathering politicians should be permissible, I realize that it sounds awful to think of, but the reason it should be permissible is because if you don't do it, these things build up and build up and build up until it's straight to the guillotine.
It's true.
And we could avoid all of that by holding politicians accountable with tar and feathers.
Right.
Or just eliminating the entire political apparatus. That would be ideal.
Right. Yeah, when you don't see change for long periods of time, it builds up in people's psyches, and then the swing is always extremely harmful. Whereas what we could do is start changing things now so that they don't have to drastically swing into some kind of lethal new tyranny.
Well, they thought they made the breakthrough of having of the two-party political system where they could harness that and sort of redirect it from one party to the other, and they could have that change going back and forth, but it doesn't result in any actual real change. And I don't think it's fixing that bubbling underlying antagonism of the system. I think it's just making it take longer to build up.
And the thing is, when you have it swing back and forth between these two powerful groups, what ends up happening is just whatever they have in common becomes the actual society, becomes the actual bureaucracy that's in charge of everything. And it turns out that what they have in common is terrible.
Not at all surprising, but I'm not familiar with RFK Jr. beyond the fact that he's a Kennedy, which means, you know, so some family members of his got murdered, and I obviously oppose that. I wish I could say I had some hypothesis about what happened to JFK, but I don't.
Oh, I can tell you exactly what happened to JFK. He promised to break the Central Intelligence Agency into a million pieces. He did so publicly, and they went, "Oh, really? You think you're in control?" And they arranged for the Italian mafia to get the hitmen, and this was paid for by oil money. Now, these were the three groups that had the most gain from his demise because he had set himself against them.
Well, that's certainly plausible, but we can never know for certain is the position, just like we can never know for certain what happened with 9/11, right? That's what I was trying to convey. Certainly, I don't believe that the story the government told us is true, because everything the government says is a lie, and everything it has stolen. But beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought
there is an unknowability to certain things, but we do know this: on that day, things were certainly no longer what they appeared to be. Because we thought we had this representative democracy, but it turns out when your representative steps out of line, it gets taken out.
And it's just amazing. It really shows how powerful the propaganda machine controlled by the U.S. government really is. Like, and 9/11 put that on display all over again. But, like, there were people there, literally there, who testified to hearing multiple gunshots, including one coming from the grassy knoll. Like, and watch his head. Watch the man's freaking head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, they've done documentaries now with modern-day technology and science, with all the angles and everything. The one that I saw, basically, my interpretation was it was impossible for it to come from the book repository.
Absolutely right.
Okay, impossible by pure physics.
Yeah, physically impossible.
Well, so Bill Hicks put it best. You know, watch his head back to the left,
right. Well,
right.
And so here's
you,
the strange thing.
You would think that in
that
case, the bullet would come from over there, where the grassy knoll happened
to
be.
Right. So here's the strange thing about that, though. It wasn't actually back, it was up. He was shot from below. And the reason his head exploded, instead of, like, you know, a bullet going through it, is because it was a shotgun that was shot from the sewer. Now, the wild part about the footage...
Heard this. Hold on.
I have. Yeah. I've heard this one.
Yeah, it's in JFK to 9/11, I think, is the they've got almost every single detail.
So the theory is that someone was in the sewer?
Yes.
And they used a shotgun?
From the drain openings.
Exactly. And the thing about the Zapruder film that's important, because every time you see it analyzed on ABC or Fox or whatever, they always do the frame-by-frame analysis of exactly what it shows. And the thing is, the frame rate is the important part. Because if you saw the unaltered footage, you'd see that car slow to a near stop.
I have heard that it slowed down a lot.
And that's why, because the shooting gallery that the driver had just gone through had failed to assassinate him. There were so many people shooting at him, and none of it worked. So the driver went, crap, I've got to do my job, which is to stop in front of this grate so that this kid, and it was this like 17-year-old of all things, because an ordinary hitman's not going to go crawling through the sewer for this thing. So he ends up being the one who fires the final shot that makes the president's head explode.
What did you say this
up
documentary was
left.
Called? Because I've never even heard of this.
JFK to 9/11.
JFK did 9/11?
No, to 9/11. JFK to 9/11.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they called it that for a point. But we see the same sort of nonsense going on with 9/11 and pancake theory, the fact that the U.S. government doesn't even mention Building 7 in the 9/11 Commission report or the FEMA report around 9/11. And their hypothesis, their going theory, or their explanation is that two planes flew into three buildings and collapsed three buildings, despite the fact that, you know, obviously it's a meme at this point. Jet fuel can't melt steel beams. Well, it still can't. And despite the fact that no high-rise steel building has ever collapsed due to fire before and has never happened since.
And what was really sad about the truth movement is that they ended up turning on each other because they had different theories for what really happened, when the important fact is that we know we're being lied to. We know we have ample evidence that what they say happened did not happen. And that's the important part. Like, this world-changing event was staged in some way or another. Some people were in on this. And that's the part that we should have been focusing on. So we'd go, well, wait a second. Where did the money come from? Well, the 9/11 report says the money was of no interest.
Right. No practical significance.
No,
I think they
practical
said.
Significance. Do not look behind the curtain
the
and who's
end.
Pulling the strings on this event. That's not important.
To say nothing else of some of the more bizarre, unlikely things, like the fact that while the hijackings were going on, NORAD just so happened to be running a drill about what they would do if some airliners were hijacked by terrorists. Meanwhile, they failed to intercept said airliners repeatedly, even though they had a 100% success rate prior to that and a 100% success rate since.
And under direct orders, no less. Now,
yes, Cheney was there.
Yeah.
Cheney was with NORAD.
And let's not kid ourselves. That's who was running the country at the time, was Dick Cheney.
Oh,
that was the top dude at the time. And no less than Dick Cheney said, of course those orders still stand, when asked specifically, hey, can we go ahead and shoot this down now, please? No, they still stand. So if you want to tell me that this was an accident, no one could possibly have thought that this would ever occur, which is why we were training for that exact event at the time.
And people buy it, right?
Yeah.
And the London bombings, I think on June the 6th or whatever day it was, had exactly the same thing, where the MI5, I think it was doing an exact drill on what would happen if someone planted bombs in the London subway, and at that exact same time, some terrorists just happened to be doing that. It's just it's mind-boggling that people buy into these things, to say nothing of the... What about the Pentagon? We know for a fact that the FBI came and they took all available footage of whatever hit the Pentagon, and then they released four frames of it. Four frames that show nothing.
Right.
What the... Guys, what do you think they could possibly... hiding.
In the interest of national security, we cannot show that.
Right.
If they have footage of planes hitting the Pentagon, first of all, what harm could it be to release that?
You would think, right?
Second of all, why only release the four frames that clearly seem to show an explosion? I would expect an airliner crashing into the Pentagon. And it also just happened to hit the part of the Pentagon that had just been renovated to withstand a missile strike. Wow, what a coincidence.
And that was really the most important thing about this, is it cemented that we are following this single narrative. No matter what actually happened, no matter what evidence we see, this is the narrative. Lockstep, people. This is why we are locking down your airports forever.
Yeah, and it does no good, right? The TSA has a horrific failure rate of trying to... There's no consistency. I've flown a lot in my life, and... all it seems to have done, all the TSA has ever accomplished is, one, making sure I have to pay $9 for a bottle of water once I get past TSA security, and two, making sure I get felt up. It's a guaranteed, unwilling, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. They're going to feel...
Probage?
Yes, thank you.
Molestation?
Yes, that's it. I'm going to get molested when I go through TSA, for sure. Every trans person will.
It's a public service to molest all of the trans people.
They have a button there that says male or female. And if they hit male, then your bra sets it off. And if they hit female, then other things in other places set it off. And it's just a matter of which one of these things they're going to hit and where they're going to fill you up is the only difference.
Just spitballing here. But what if we didn't have these radioactive methods of looking through people's clothing that you had to go through to get on a plane?
And what the hell? What do they do? Like, again, I always get felt out. What is it that they do when I get on the other side of it? Because they put on gloves, and they feel around on me, and then they wipe it with some wand, and then they scan the wand. Like, I need to know, what did you just put on me? Or what did you take? What the hell just happened?
What just happened?
Because it's like they were testing me or scanning me for some kind of chemical. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to interpret what they were doing.
That was the explanation given to me, if there's a chemical on you, it'll get on the thing, and then when we test it with the machine, it will go, oh, you're a terrorist.
But what?
Well, and that's the thing. None of this is useful. People get through every time that they test these things. And it sure does seem to get in the way of absolutely everything all the time for no purpose whatsoever, except it renews everyone's faith and fear so that we're all on the same narrative at the same time. That's the important part.
And I know people in the industry that are familiar with those procedures, and they've told me point blank that stuff gets through because they test it. I won't give details, but they test it, and so
you
may think that you're safe, but my opinion, based on what I know and have heard, you're not.
Yeah.
But people feel better, right?
Right. Well, and the thing is, since they're not catching what they're supposed to be catching, why are we paying these people? Oh, because they make us feel like those evil terrorists will be further from us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these people are doing.
Yeah, Americans don't care about results. They don't care about success. They don't care about the goals.
No.
What they care about is the pretense of feeling like they are doing something about that goal. Like, if Americans really wanted to do something about poverty, they would abolish the welfare apparatus and eliminate the minimum wage. But they don't do that. Instead, they go the opposite direction because they don't care if they actually increase poverty by raising the minimum wage.
As long as they feel good
and can convince themselves that they tried.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, starving child. They tried.
Yeah, government did something. There was an intervention. And in fact, not only do they not care if they're making the problem worse, they're directly incentivized to make sure that this problem never goes away. Now that we've monopolized poor people, we have to make sure that poor people still exist so we keep our phony baloney jobs.
Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, we have no need in society for a TSA. I've taken all sorts of transportations that didn't have to do with the government, and I've never been, like, searched in that capacity. I've never been put through any sort of invasive body scan. I don't even do the body scans anymore because I know I'm going to get felt up.
Right.
So if I'm going to get felt up anyway, let's just skip that and go straight to the forced massage, right?
Right.
But instead of subjecting ourselves to that, We could just get on the planes that worked just fine for decades. Honestly, if it wasn't for the government intervention, the airline industry would have collapsed long ago because it's completely unsustainable. But it exists, and the TSA is there allegedly to protect people. But as you pointed out rightly, it's just theater. It's the masks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to make people feel better. They don't care if it works or not.
It's all optics.
The imposing uniforms at the checkpoints, mm-hmm. the shiny badges, the stern looks.
Oh, on the subject of checkpoints, they're having sobriety checkpoints here in Lancaster this weekend.
Yes.
You had an encounter with the police.
I did. I wanted to explore the wilderness of northern New Hampshire, so I drove up earlier today. almost to the Canadian border.
Nice.
Went up to the what they call the Connecticut Lakes, which was headwaters, if you will, for the Connecticut River. And when I was driving back, I was on Route 3, which is a main thoroughfare north-south, and I stopped in the middle of nowhere at a rest stop. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, state trooper comes out, pulls in the rest area, kind of slows down, looks me over. I pull out. He follows me for about 25 miles and had plenty of I followed, of course, the speed limit at that point. I didn't want to give any reason to have him pull me over. And plenty of opportunity for him to pass me.
Right.
But I was...
They always give you that vibe, right, when they're doing this. Like, you knew at this point that he was going to pull you over, right?
Right. If I did, like, the least thing wrong.
He was waiting. He was waiting.
He
was a predator stalking his prey.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And I was stone cold sober. So the only thing he could get on me was speeding, which I didn't do.
Right.
Then I pull into a gas station as I pull into a town. He goes on his way. I get out. 2 minutes later, circles back around, kind of slows down, and then goes on his way. So I was being stalked.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Well, do you have Port Fest stickers on your vehicle?
No, I don't.
Wow.
I don't.
Nothing. Okay.
But
that would have been my guess. But yeah. Why would they mess with libertarians here?
I did have an out-of-state plate. Okay.
Okay. So maybe
that was part of the reason.
How out-of-state? Like
out-of-state, like...
Pennsylvania,
Florida.
Massachusetts?
Florida.
Okay. Yeah, then he probably did assume you're up here for the Pork Fest, then, for the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say. And even if you are here for that, that's profiling, and that's not right.
Yeah. And probably scan the plate. I don't know what's in those databases.
Mm-hmm. In New Hampshire, they're not allowed to call in your plate without... justification. I didn't know this until I bought my Eclipse, and I wanted to go ahead and drive it. I didn't want to wait for the registration of the plate and all that, so I took my plates off of my Ford, and I put them on my Eclipse. I was like, this will be fine. It's just got to be a day or two, right? But I pulled in a gas station to do something, to look up something on my GPS, and there was a cop who happened to be there. And so I just ignored it and went about my day and went to go pick up my friend from work, and sure enough, a few minutes later, he pulled me over and said, I ran your plates, and, you know, what's going on? Those aren't the right plates. This is not a Ford. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, didn't challenge it. I talked my way out of it. Mm. He was like, well, just tell me you're buying the car, and I will look the other way and go get that taken care of. I was like, well, I'm buying the car. But I didn't know it until Ian pointed out that that was illegal. He wasn't allowed to do that. He had no just cause, no reasonable cause for running my place. No reasonable suspicion that I had broken any laws or done anything illegal.
Okay.
Wow.
So,
in theory,
the cop did not, but that doesn't mean he won't.
Yeah, so I don't know why. It was just very, very strange.
Probably part of their sobriety checkpoints up here in Coos County. Well, that's it for today's show. We will be back same time tomorrow. And again, tomorrow, come hang out with us at RB46 for the topless episode of She Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.